Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. 15 charged in Medicaid schemes, potentially netted a whopping $90 million. One suspect is on the lam after jumping off a fourth-story balcony trying to get away. RF Kennedy Jr. was, of course, involved in this, as it did have to do with medical fraud, and he's the Health and Human Services Director. Let's go now to Secretary Kennedy on this historic and long-overdue bust of the fraudsters. Let's watch.
Today's arrests represent the largest autism fraud bust in American history. This was not a paperwork error. It was not a technical violation. This was organized threat, organized theft that exploited the most vulnerable children in America. Deceived families, stole taxpayer dollars meant to help children with autism access legitimate care and support. Investigators uncovered brazen schemes that billed taxpayers for non-existent services, fraudulent diagnoses, and fake care, while criminals enriched themselves at public expense. Every fraudulent autism diagnosis steals time, care, and resources from the children for whom this program was denied and who desperately need this care. Families with autistic children already face enormous challenges navigating therapies, specialists, and support systems. Fraud makes those barriers even steeper. America is facing a real autism crisis. Today, approximately one in every 31 children is diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. Medicaid finances a significant share of autism-related services nationwide, and spending has risen dramatically over the last decade, and a lot of that spending is because of fraud. When criminals exploit these programs, taxpayers lose billions, and vulnerable children lose their access to care. Healthcare fraud now costs the United States tens of billions of dollars every year. Some estimates place the broader cost of healthcare fraud and improper payments at $100 billion annually.
Breaking news, a Minnesota judge has just sentenced the mastermind behind the Feeding Our Future fraud scheme, Amy Bach. She just got more than 41 years in prison. The prosecution is asking for a 50-year sentence and her defense about 3 years. So that's somewhere in the middle that they got that, but closer to what obviously the prosecution wanted. The scheme involved the theft of nearly $250 million in COVID funding. That money was meant to feed hungry children. State leaders claim they were unaware of the fraud. Here's what Amy Bach told our Alexis McAdams from jail back in January.
I honestly believe Keith Ellison and Governor Walz need to be held accountable. There needs to be an investigation done. If they weren't aware, that's concerning.
Of course, they were aware. Fraud of this level does not take place without the complicity of the people in charge. And even if they weren't aware of it, that's not an excuse, because it's their job to be aware of it. They're the ones that we put in charge of the coffers. If the coffers get raided under their watch, that's their fault. It's ridiculous. So thank goodness she went away for, you know, a long time. And at least one person, you know, in the Trump administration, you know, carrying this out with the DOJ, understands what this is really all about. Let's go to clip 26 now.
All of our programs are built for a high trust society. We didn't set up these programs with layers and layers and layers of anti-fraud redundancy because we set it up for a people who are accustomed to be able to trust their neighbors, their families, and their friends to do the right thing, to be honest, and not to try to bilk their fellow Americans by raiding these programs. It's become clear that social trust has been diminished and that people have taken advantage of these programs.
Yeah, because you invited a bunch of literal pirates, you idiots.
Do you think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't really work? I always ask people, they never know the answer, even salesmen. I go, who's the best salesman? Who's the smartest salesman? Who are the most successful salesmen? The best salesman, a smart salesman, goes and finds what is the hottest, best product that's in demand. It sells itself. I promote freedom. I promote liberty. I promote what I think is good. My marketing strategy, if I like something, I think it's great, and I research it, I push it on you. You are insane. if you don't get our Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best out there. You're insane if you don't get our Methylene Red. You're crazy if you don't do bovine colostrum. In fact, I realized the first few months I took that, I got busy. It ran out. I didn't get more. I just remember that and found some. Was taking it last night. So good for your hair, your nails, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of the milk a cow puts out, and any mammal does. It is super nutrient, incredible. You're crazy if you don't take these products. They really work, and they fund the operation.
Welcome back, folks. War Room Live, the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com, alexjoneslive.com. Follow us on Rumble, of course. You can follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. Share those links around, please. People still are having trouble finding us, as difficult as that is to believe. It is true. All right, let's talk about what happened with the flotilla and Israel. We showed the video yesterday, showed it again today, of Ben-Gvir, Israeli high up, you know, member of the Israeli government, basically, you know, reveling in the abuse that these people are facing. And this whole story is sort of typical of Israel. First of all, the crime that these people committed, the flotilla, was trying to bring food to starving people, trying to bring awareness to the genocide that's been going on, as if we're not all perfectly aware of it. It's good to see people actually, you know, taking it seriously and doing, you know, the bare minimum, what an average, you know, God-fearing person should do in trying to get, you know, attention to this matter. And while they were in international waters, they were approached by the IDF and, you know, Israeli forces. They were captured, they were arrested, they were brutalized and beaten. And if now some of them at least have been returned to Europe, because these people were European. They were Italian. They've since been brought to Istanbul, as I understand it. And it's one of the things that you have to realize, and we've been telling you this forever, Israel doesn't care about Palestinians. They don't care about Arabs. They don't care about any of that. It's if you oppose them, you're the enemy. And you are a terrorist, and you are Amalek. And being Italian, being Christian, being European didn't save these people from Israel. Because they are European, because there are certain, you know, diplomatic realities, Israel, sure, they're not able to hold them indefinitely, torture them to death, sick dogs on them, you know, bury them in an unmarked grave and steal their organs like they do with the Palestinians, but they still treat them extremely badly, leave them with visible bruises, which again, you know, goes to show you, Israelis aren't exactly trying to hide what they're doing. I mean, go to the images again. These are brutal bruises. I mean, these were inflicted deliberately. This wasn't, you know, this isn't, the handcuffs are a little bit tight, or in the scuffle, somebody got knocked over. These are bruises showing repeated blows to the back with some sort of weapon. This is evidence of torture. And Israel doesn't give a damn. You're in international waters doing something they don't like. They don't have the authority to do anything about it, but they will. They don't have the legal right to kidnap those people, but they did. And they beat them, bruised them, sent them back home, basically challenged anybody else to do something about it. Again, the crime these people committed was to be in a flotilla. They were in a float. They were in an unarmed, charitable peace flotilla. And Israel captures and beats them. And then you have, quote unquote, American talking heads, celebrities, influencers, whatever you want to call them, saying not good enough. They got off easy. Yeah, you people are psychos, complete and utter psychos. And we can get into what they're doing with Gaza as well, as they're building new walls and basically taking over a large chunk of what was previously Gaza territory. Do I have any videos of There's a video of an Italian guy talking about it. He basically says, you know, the instant they were in Israeli control, they were just savagely beaten. Meloni, the PM of Italy, has spoken out about this. Meloni attacks Israel. Don't you love how these things are phrased? This is from the Telegraph. Meloni attacks Israel. You mean Meloni defends her own citizens who were tortured by Israel? Okay. So Meloni attacks Israel over quote-unquote monstrous treatment of Gaza activists. Giorgia Meloni has demanded that Israel apologize for its monstrous treatment of activists who'd been detained after trying to deliver humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip. The Italian government summoned the Israeli ambassador in Rome to give an explanation of the footage that emerged in which Itamar Ben-Gvir, Israel's far-right national security minister, taunted activists as they knelt on the floor with their wrists tied. About 430 protesters from more than 40 countries were filmed in a makeshift detention area in Israel's Ashdod airport, and on the deck of a ship. The minister waved a large Israeli flag and mockingly told the detainees, "Welcome to Israel. We are the masters of the house." Security personnel pushed a female activist to the ground after she shouted "Free Palestine" as Mr. Ben-Gvir walked past. In a second video, Mr. Ben-Gvir said the activists had approached Israel on the global Sumund flotilla, all full of pride, like big heroes. Look at them now. He said Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, should give him permission to imprison them. Probably kill him if he really had his way. The flotilla departed the coast of Turkey last week. Israeli forces began blocking boats around 165 miles from the Gaza coastline. According to the flotilla's website, Israel detained the activists who were handcuffed and made to kneel with their heads touching the floor after they were arrested in international waters and stopped from reaching Gaza. So again, what is there to say? What is there to say? Like, you know, you just can't imagine any other country even attempting this, let alone getting away with it. Like, other countries would at least pretend that they weren't doing this, or at least wait until they were in actual territorial waters before doing anything about it. But no, the Israelis go to international waters and say, "We're the master of this house. We own the ocean. And if you're in a boat and don't like us, I guess we get to arrest, humiliate, torture, and imprison you." Yeah. I mean, that, you know, the law is what happens, right? Do they have the legal right to do this? No. They did it anyway, though, didn't they? Is anybody going to stop them? Is anybody going to punish them? No. Well, then that means it's legal. That's how it works. Like, I don't know. It's too much. This has been going on for 3 years at this point, and a month in, the countries of Europe should have intervened. Why don't they? Because they are literally all, every single one of them, infiltrated by Israelis, by Jewish Israeli first operatives who are there entirely to serve Israel in whatever position they can get in the government of Italy or Germany or wherever. So any attempt by any of these governments to do anything moral, to do anything justifiable when it comes to Israel, will be shut down internally by their own people who like Israel doing this sort of stuff. And just like Tucker Carlson said, killing children is not a part of civilization. Arresting peaceful protesters and brutalizing them and bragging about it, it's just absolutely at odds with absolutely everything we believe. And yet they want to present Israel as the height of Western civilization. Western civilization does not do this. Western civilization rejects this outright. European leaders are too far on the other spectrum. Let's be honest. I prefer this type of treatment if it was invaders trying to get into your country to rape your women. Okay, now you have an argument. But you can just imagine an America without this influence. You can just imagine a Europe without this influence. You know, Ben-Gvir, I don't know if I have the video, I don't know, our video machine is kind of messed up today, so I don't have a lot of the videos that I was hoping to go to with this. But I believe we have, we should have one about Ben Gavir and sort of his history about who he is. But of course, he is outspoken in favor of and like supports immigration into Europe, right? This is who this guy is. The flotilla departed the coast of Turkey last week. Israeli forces began blocking. Yeah, but you know what's the funniest part? I've got videos where the Israeli, like Israeli officials or Israeli, you know, media personalities are mad at Ben Gavir and what he did in, you know, basically abusing European prisoners on camera who never did anything wrong and were part of a charity flotilla. But literally the only reason they're mad is because it's on video. I've not seen a single Israeli person, outlet, newspaper say this is wrong because it's wrong, that you shouldn't treat people this way, that, you know, these flotilla people didn't hurt anybody. Literally the only objection is everybody saw you. Everybody saw it. And that makes us look bad. And that's why it's bad. If you had done all of this quietly and not made videos about it, they'd be absolutely in favor of it. As you saw, people out there saying these people got off easy. So then they turn around and go, this is not consistent with Israeli values. No, it is. In fact, this is like the best face forward Israeli values. This is like a good example of Israeli values compared to the regular Israeli citizens I see advocating for these people to be imprisoned or worse. And even the outrage in Israel over this is not over the fact it was done. It's only over the fact that it makes Israel look bad for this to be done, which is a very important distinction. The flotilla departed the coast of Italy, Israeli forces began blocking boats around 165 miles from the Gaza coastline. Mr. Meloni and Antonio Tajani, Italy's foreign minister, said Rome demands an apology for the treatment of the activist. Guido Corsetto, the defense minister, told Israel, "We pride ourselves on having always treated your compatriots with respect, and we are not in the habit of arresting people in international waters, but rather of rescuing them if they need it. I don't think this kind of behavior is in the interest of Israel." Opposition MPs called for more diplomatic remonstrations. Ricardo Ricciardi, don't you love Italy? This, you know, it's like, thank God there's still a little bit of Europe. Maybe this is silly, but like, we should appreciate, we should really enjoy the fact that when I read a story about Italy, the names I'm reading are Meloni, Tajani, Corsetto, Riccardo Ricciardi. It's great. It's amazing. That's how it should be. I'm just enjoying it now because I know in 10 or 15 years, it'll be Foreign Minister Omar Hijabi, you know, of Italy says this. I didn't even pull in the video today, but the mayor of, I think it's Birmingham in the UK, but some new mayor, he literally can't speak English. And it's a video of him trying to speak English and he's wearing the like classic, like medieval garb that these mayors in the UK wear. And he's just like, these things are good for us. And it's like, I assume he can speak normal in his normal language. Maybe he's just retarded. I don't know. But obviously, the UK, you read their list of ministers and authorities. Yeah, Pakistani Muslim mayor of Birmingham, UK, speaks broken English. He literally can't speak English. So I just thought I'd take a brief moment here to appreciate the fact that there are still people with Italian names running Italy, and how that's going away very rapidly and isn't going to be the case. Really is sad. So, and this is why, you know, this is why, because these damn Italians, these damn, you know, white Christian people sticking their nose in Israel's business like this, you know, this is why they all have to be replaced by Muslims. Obviously you need to replace every single white person with a Muslim or an Indian because they know their place. All right. They know not to bite the hand that feeds them. They're smart enough and clever enough to know to go along with the evil because you benefit from it, not to stand up against it as a moral choice, even if it costs you. That's what stupid people do, right? Stupid people have beliefs. Stupid people support the innocent. Stupid people don't take advantage of a system that's vulnerable, right? It's not that we're moral and upright and recognize that a culture built on suspicion and hatred is an unsteady and dangerous force. And so we encourage ourselves and encourage each other to maintain a certain moral level of action, even if it's not necessary. Sorry, what was I talking about? Sorry, I got a little off track here. But seriously, I mean, you want to know why. You want to know why Italy and Germany and Greece, well, why all the European nations are being flooded. It's because they still do stuff like this. They still piss off the Israelis by demanding international law be followed, okay? Israel needs subservient third worlders in all of these positions so they can finally have the freedom of movement they deserve. So Ricardo Ricciardi of the Progressive Five Star Movement said, "We would like to see the country and the continent raise their heads, sanction Israel, and sever all trade agreements with the most criminal government in the world today." Yvette Cooper, the foreign secretary, said she was truly appalled by the video. "We have demanded an explanation from the Israeli authorities and made clear their obligations to protect the rights of our citizens and those involved," she said. Jose Manuel Alvarez, of course, Spain is maybe the one country in Europe that's not going along with Israel, and they're paying the price for it. Spain's foreign minister condemned the treatment of the protesters as monstrous, disgraceful, and inhumane. Canada, Turkey, Ireland, and the Netherlands and France also condemned the treatment of the activist. So, I mean, think about that. Think about Israel capturing a boat in international waters. They weren't trespassing. They weren't delivering, you know, forbidden goods to terrorists. They were a peace mission from 40 different countries. So think about the fact that Israel goes in there knowing full well they're about to piss off the governments of 40 countries, including basically every European country, and knowing they're not going to do anything. Israel, you know, it was really a courtesy that Israel let the people go. Do you think anything would have been done if they had simply disappeared the people? If those people had disappeared into one of the Palestinian prisons with all the other Palestinian detainees, never given a trial, tortured to death, do you think Europe would do anything about it then? How far do you think Israel could push it? Do you think they could have just blown the boat out of the water, live streamed it? Ben-Gvir could have, been watching from the shore with binoculars and make a little video saying, "This is what happens when you try to mess with us." Do you think any of the 40 different countries whose citizens were tortured by Israel, like why won't they stand up for them? What could they do that would get Europe to turn on them? Is there anything? I can't think of anything they haven't done, right? I mean, can you even think of something that they could do that would actually make Europe turn on Israel? Committing genocide didn't do it. Latest numbers I've seen have something like 600,000 people died. They're announcing now they're walling in Gaza so it's even smaller. They're moving forward and taking over large chunks of that landmass, even though it's against the ceasefire agreement, against the international law, and it's the consequence of genocide. What could they do that would actually get Europe to respond? I don't think there's anything. I think they could have live streamed the one by one hanging of every single one of these flotilla members. And the worst thing that would have happened is exactly what we're seeing now. Minor outrage, bit of a kerfuffle, couple of strident demands that get ignored. And that's it. Because Israel has agents in all of these countries and they won't let it happen. Same thing in our country. Like I keep saying, if Donald Trump gave the order to arrest Benjamin Netanyahu, do you think that order would even be followed? I seriously doubt it. And if it was, how do you think the 20 to 30,000 IDF soldiers here in America would respond to that? It's called the fifth column, folks. There is a fifth column in every single country in the Western world, and it's Israel. And because of that fifth column, they have freedom of action and can violate any law, can be charged as a international criminal in the ICC, and the worst thing that happens is the ICC itself gets sanctioned by America. People in Denmark try to punish a rabbi for giving kids herpes and performing a banned circumcision ritual where they use their mouth to suck the blood out of the wound. Not today, Denmark. Not if America has anything to say about it. America, the full force and weight of the American empire comes down to demand that they let go. They let the rabbi go. Right? Because how dare you? Because how dare you try to enforce your own national law? America won't stand for it. I mean, sure, Israel has literally killed Americans throughout all of this. Israel is actually, like a lot of the Palestinians that have been killed were Palestinian Americans. American activists have been killed in really incredibly brutal ways. We don't do anything about it. We don't even mention it. We won't even reference it. But hey, some rabbi in Denmark gets in trouble for sucking a baby's dick, and America comes to the rescue. We come to help. We will not, you will not stand by while that justice is dispensed. We will intervene. Fifth column, folks. You knowingly caused harm to our state in this disgraceful... Oh, yeah, yeah. So these are the people complaining about Ben-Gavir. So Ben-Gavir posts the video, right? Again, this wasn't a hidden video. This wasn't a leaked video. Ben-Gavir himself posted on his own social media, welcome to Israel, with the video of them abusing the Europeans. In response to this, another Israeli politician says, you knowingly caused harm to our state in this disgraceful display, and not for the first time. You have undone tremendous professional and successful efforts made by so many people, from IDF soldiers to foreign ministry staff and many others. No, you are not the face of Israel. Was it bad what he did? Is what he did bad on the face of it? Or is it contingent? Remember yesterday I was talking, it's literally the divide is between subjectivity and objectivity. We as objective people understand that abusing charity workers is just bad. Abusing people who never intended you any harm, never had the ability to do any harm to you, and who were in international water and you can't even lay the charge of trespassing on them. Everybody knows that it's wrong to arrest those people, let alone humiliate and abuse them objectively. But what if nobody knows? But what if nobody finds out? Is it still wrong? But what if it's hidden? What if we could spin it to look good? Is it still wrong then? An objective view would say, yeah, it's still wrong. A subjective view says it depends. Okay? Another one. There are those in government who still haven't figured out how to behave towards supporters of terrorism. Israel's foreign minister is expected to understand that Israel stopped being a pushover. Anyone who comes to our territory to support terrorism and identify with Hamas will get slapped, and we won't turn the other cheek. Don't you like that, how he literally references the Jesus quote in there? Just to really emphasize, he's like, we are not Christian. We are not moral. We are demons. In case you forgot, we are demons.
I need funds to even operate this network and to finish the new studios. Plus, the information is vital, as you know. The bad guys want us off air. They tried to move heaven and earth to get us off air. I can't do this without you. So I'm asking folks that have gotten the products and love them to remind you to get them again at thealexandsore.com. And I want to talk to the vast majority of you that love the show, share articles, videos, great, but you never go to thealexandsore.com. You're missing out not only on getting great products, but on standing up for yourself and your family in the future. It takes money, time, and energy to fight a war, and we are financing our war of truth, our information war against the globalists, and having great effects because of your support. So I want to salute those that have supported us, and I want to encourage those that have been on the fence and never bought any product. You're really missing out. Our ultramethylene blue, our bovine colostrum, our RSC moss, our Shilajit, not sexy names, but sexy effects, folks. All the products I sell you really, really work. That's why you just need to try them and see what it does. I'd start with methylene blue. 99% of people, more than that, I believe it was like 500 people, and three people didn't feel it. It's all on medical record, what it does, skipping the oxidation process of the cells. Does it act as a stimulant, but feels like a stimulant, no letdown. Then we have methylene red in the tincture and the capsule. The capsules are even more concentrated. It goes the methylene blue in an excellent way, but on its own is incredible. Methylene red capsules. And so these are brand new in the store right now, to 50% off. Methylene red capsules are designed to support clean daily energy, mental clarity, brain function, focus and performance, cellular energy support. This is for people who want to wake up sharper, think clear, and stay locked in throughout the day without relying on fake stimulant garbage. No crash, no junk, no watered down formula, just clean daily support for people who want to stay sharp, stay focused, and keep moving. And if you're a subscriber, you can get up to 50% off. You can cancel anytime, but it locks in to 50% off going forward. Cancel one click for free anytime. But 25% off for everybody else, introductory price. And then we got two big buy one, get one free specials that are only running until Monday. Buy one T3 iodine, the very best, purest iodine out there that is atomic and essential in the body. All the other iodines out there are bound to an element. You don't get full absorption. One of the biggest problems, just look this up yourself, over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. So many of the neurological disorders and diseases are caused by iodine deficiency. Even the so-called daily allowance of iodine is way lower. Nutritionists I've talked to and scientists say, so you need this, and it's the best iodine you're going to get. You can buy one bottle of T3 iodine and get another bottle absolutely free. You can also get Ultimate Life Force, the Spike Protein Detox, Cardiovascular Booster, great for children, women, men, old folks, you name it. It is incredible. The strongest, best detoxification formula out there, Ultimate Life Force. It's a big old bottle. I got one right here. Buy one, get one free right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support, because I can't do this without you. And I'll just be quite frank with you. We're bringing in right now enough money to pay the bills and for the legal. You know, the globalists always trying to shut us down. And that's not good to be on, you know, 10th of a tank. I need to be able to hire more crew, more reporters, more hosts, and scale up and finish the new studios. And we're going to do it, but it's up to you. You are the game changer here. I need you to take action right now at thealexjonesstore.com. These are incredible products. You're really missing out. And again, regardless, take the live feed at Real Alex Jones on X and at the network at AJ and Live on X and on Rumble. Here's the new address. Almost 700,000 followers in just 9-10 days. I want to thank everybody for doing that. Love Rumble. We're really going to partner with them. So many big announcements, new shows, more coming. Just get ready. Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
God hates the tears.
I'm as confused as you are, folks. I don't know what's going on either. I don't know what this song is or where the crew found it. I think I hate it. God hates the tips. Oh, it's Trevor Moore. From Whitest Kids You Know. Yeah, it's a weird thing, I'll tell you that right now. It's a very weird thing. It's one of those things that people just never really questioned. It's just what you do. As soon as you question it, you realize there's no reason, actually. It's actually a terrible thing. It's actually literally genital mutilation, and it leaves a permanent mark on your brain, actually. Crazy stuff. All right, we can move on. I could talk more about that topic. It's a weird practice, I gotta say. Anyway, we'll move on now. But look up the UK royal family. Look up how the UK royal family gets circumcised. That's an interesting wrinkle in the story, if you can put it that way. Welcome back, folks. That was a weird song. Totally threw me off. I forgot what I was going to do. Okay, let's go to clip number 9 here. This is the fascist history of Ben-Gavir. This is who Ben-Gavir is. He is the face of Israel. And by the way, I think the solution's anti-Semitism. I do. I think the solution to these problems is outspoken anti-Semitism, and I'll explain why. Because when Ben-Gavir does this, it's not supposed to reflect on the Jewish people. But what if it did? Would he be as likely to do it? What if we blamed all Jews for the actions of Israel? Would they be incentivized to not be completely insane now? I don't know, but I think anti-Semitism might just save the Jews. It just might. Because what the only solution to this really is the Jewish community themselves, you know, stepping up and getting Ben-Gavir to stop, or getting Netanyahu to stop, or getting Jonathan Greenblatt to stop, or getting Ben Shapiro to stop, or getting Rabbi Shmuley to stop. But because, you know, there's this unwillingness to blame all of them for the actions of one, which ostensibly is a good thing. You would think it's a good thing, but here I'm thinking we're in this situation because you've got Jews acting completely terribly and other Jews defending them. And then we're not supposed to, you know, think it represents all of them. What if it did, though? But what if it did? Would they not then be incentivized to, you know, pressure these people? Hey, you got to stop. This is making all of us look bad. Because it is. It is making all of you look bad. So that's a, you know, I'm kind of half joking, but I don't know. It's worth it. I think it's worth a shot. I mean, the way things are going now, it ain't looking good. So, you know, what are we going to do? Mess it up? What are we going to do? Make things worse? What if anti-Semitism is the solution? I don't know. I think it's worth a try. I think it's one of these creative solutions I've come up with that just might work. It's just crazy enough to work. So maybe we'll try that from now on. This is from Double Down News, The Fascist History of Ben-Gavir. Clip number 9. Hello?
Ben-Gavir of Jewish power, previously convicted in Israel of incitement to racism and supporting a terrorist organization. Ben-Gavir lives in an illegal settlement in Hebron. Ben-Gavir's mentor, Rabbi Meir Kahani, established the Kach movement.
This is our country. It is not theirs. I want the Arabs out.
They must go.
He was committed to the use of specifically Jewish violence to effect such changes.
If I were the Minister of Defense, there wouldn't be one Arab left here.
Are you encouraging your people to go out on the streets and to attack Arabs as has happened in...
I call upon the Jews to do anything imaginable and anything possible which will encourage the Arabs to get out of this country.
Does that mean attacking?
Anything possible.
I want them out alive, and if not alive, dead.
Kahani's views were so extreme that the U.S. classified Kach as a terrorist organization in 1997. And Kahani was the inspiration for Baruch Goldstein, another settler from the Hebron settlements who murdered over 20 innocent Palestinians in cold blood.
Goldstein's portrait still hangs in Hebron on the wall of Itamar Ben-Gvir.
In 1993, Binyamin Netanyahu became leader of Likud. As Likud leader, Binyamin Netanyahu demonized the then Israeli Prime Minister and Labour Party leader Yitzhak Rabin for signing the Oslo Peace Accords. In 1995, Ben-Gavir, the Minister for National Security, responsible for the police today, appeared on television brandishing an ornament stolen from Rabin's car and proudly declared, "We got to his car, we'll get to him too."
(laughs)
A few weeks later, Rabin was assassinated. The death of Rabin led to the death of the peace process. In 1996, Benjamin Netanyahu became Israeli Prime Minister for the first time. And what he set about doing was the creation of a whole new generation of far-right extremist political leaders in Israel. Despite constant scandal, Netanyahu has been re-elected Prime Minister on 6 occasions. Given the importance of global conversations about peace, about racism, there has never been a time when independent media is more important. So watch Double Down News and support Double Down News on Patreon.
There you go. Little history lesson for you about Ben-Gavir. The Baruch Goldstein is one of these stories where, yeah, the guy killed, you know, 20 Palestinians, and they celebrate this guy every year. Ben-Gavir's got a picture hanging up, and when he's asked what he would tell his son about the man in the picture, he'd say he's a hero. He's a righteous man. He's a mass murderer, murdered innocent people, and to Ben-Gavir, that makes him righteous. This guy's the strongest Jew in the state of Israel and the terrorist. Hey, we'll take your word for it, Shmuley. So again, you know, this is just who we're dealing with. And, you know, at the end of that segment, the guy's like, you know, as much as we talk about peace and all this sort of stuff, just understand they don't care. They don't care. They don't want peace. They're not embarrassed by this. They're not shamed by this. You know, they didn't try to cover it up. They're doing this on purpose. It's a psychological operation. Ben-Gavir's policy goals going to extremes. Even Europe's far right won't touch. We got to come up with a new term for the Israeli far right, because they're not even in the same universe. The gulf of difference between American right wingers that are just like, stop destroying my country. I want to be able to afford a house. And they're just like extreme right winger. Meanwhile, extreme right wingers in Israel are just like, we've got to kill all of the Arabs, kill them all, kill the babies. It's like, they're not both right wing, right? One of them is a terrorist Zionist, and the other one is just a normal human being. Was normal for a long time. But I really hate the way it's like, but that's the Israeli right wing. It's like, kinda. The Israeli right wing is also the ones who will open up the border in Europe to Muslims. Like, they, anyway. It's not right or left. It's Israel versus everybody. That is the only division here. We're going to move on. We'll get to American politics here, since it ain't going well. But we could continue with Israel if we wanted. But no, we'll move on. But we could. We will. Let's continue for a little bit. Let's go to clip 12 here. As Israel appears to be building a new wall inside Gaza, satellite images show they are, in fact, annexing a large portion of the Gaza Strip. And once again, total abject violation of all of the agreements that they've signed with Donald Trump in America. Supposed to be ceasefire in Gaza. There's never been a ceasefire. They're still killing dozens of people a day on average, or at least more than normally die. They're still obviously blocking humanitarian aid, and they're taking it over, just like was always the intention. And just remember, October 7th was a total, absolute false flag. They allowed it to happen because they wanted this. It was Israeli gunships. It was Israeli helicopters that murdered people in Nova. It's not even a question. We literally have the video of it. So Israel kills its own people, uses that as an excuse to wage war in Gaza. And remember, in that video that we just saw, you know, Ben-Gavir was a part of this assassination plot, apparently, to kill, you know, an Israeli prime minister. It, you know, it's not like, you know, they don't have enemies within as well. But Ben-Gavir, Netanyahu, Smotrich, like, these are the most extreme religious fanatic terrorists, and they're the ones in charge of Israel right now, and they have the backing of the Israeli people. And it wasn't a bunch of Likud politicians that were the one banging on the prison demanding that the guards be allowed to rape the prisoners, right? That was just your average Israeli citizen. It's a cooperation. The Israeli citizens act outrageous. They commit insane crimes, and then the politicians cover it up for them. And then their agents in our countries prevent any international outrage from reaching the point of action. It's a very convenient setup they have. So let's go ahead and go to clip 12 here. This is the flagrant violation of the Gaza agreement as they are annexing the portion they're supposed to leave alone. Let's watch.
Israel appears to be building a new wall in Gaza. Satellite images analyzed by ABC News show deep trenches being dug along the yellow line, which was meant to be the temporary division established at the ceasefire in January between Hamas-controlled Gaza and IDF forces. Israel has pushed the line westward over the last few months and says it now controls 60% of the strip. Under the terms of the ceasefire, Hamas was meant to disarm and the IDF withdraw, but neither has happened. And now 2.1 million Palestinians live in an area less than half the size of what it was before the October 7th attack. With infrastructure demolished, hundreds of thousands are still living in tents and disease is spreading. ABC News has counted 9 military outposts along the line, which has become a kill zone for Palestinians over the last few months. The UN says more than 200 people, including dozens of women and children, have been killed close to it. Israel says IDF troops are deployed in accordance with the ceasefire agreement. They say there are no IDF military posts beyond the yellow line, and they're working to visibly mark the location of the line to prevent harm to civilians.
So there you go. Again, who's going to stop them? Who's going to stop them? We have the ability to stop them, but we won't. So who else? Let's go now to clip number 13. This was an Israeli settler attack yesterday on the Palestinians in the West Bank. We can go ahead and go to 13 now. There's a Palestinian standing on his own property, and there's the gang of settlers with the bats savagely beating him. In January 2026 alone, more than 200 attacks by Israeli settler militias against Palestinians were documented in the South Hebron Hills. And it's only increased since then. I mean, all throughout February and April, they increased even more. So 200 in January, probably at least 300 in the following months. And of course, the settlers know that they can attack with total fearlessness, because if there's any response, any attempt to defend themselves, then the IDF rolls in. And or the Israeli police show up at the door the next day to haul you away and throw you in prison because the settlers claim that you attacked them. So This is who we're defending to the destruction of our country. And importantly, the destruction of the Republican Party, first and foremost and above everything. Obviously, the two biggest negatives of Trump's current administration are Epstein and the Iran war, both directly attributable to Israeli influence here in America. And the result of this has been an absolute collapse in the support for Donald Trump and the Republican Party, including the one demographic that he could always count on, white, no college degree Americans. He now has a negative approval rating at 46%, with the disapproval rating at 54% for white Americans with no college degree. Which was the base of his base, right? And there's an interesting development here, because today, Reuters.com has the story, Democrats release autopsy of 2024 election loss, but they reject the findings. They're rejecting the findings of their own investigation. Bowing to pressure from within its ranks, the Democrat National Committee released on Thursday a long-withheld autopsy of Kamala Harris's loss to Donald Trump in the 2024 presidential race, only to quickly disavow it. The report found the Democrats have ceded ground to Trump's Republicans through underfunding of state parties and, quote, a persistent inability or unwillingness to listen to all voters. Huh. That's just the Democrats, though, right? It's not like that's a problem the Republicans could also have. a persistent inability or unwillingness to listen to your voters? Gee, did you call them all? Did you try calling them all anti-Semitic panikins? Have you tried doing that? Did that work? In statements accompanying the release, DNC Chairman Ken Martin said it does not meet my standards and won't meet your standards, but he said it was being published to restore trust in the party. The 192-page document includes a disclaimer on the top of every page stating that it reflects the views of the author, not the DNC. So it's just a little bit ironic, I find, that the Democrats release a report that's like, yeah, we lost 2024 badly because we refused to listen to the voters and basically just told them that they have to vote for us. You think the Republicans could get that message, or are we going to have to go through an absolute bloodbath in 2026 and 2028 and wait until like 2030 before the report comes out that's like, yeah, you probably should have listened to your voters, actually. Actually, if you want to get voted on, the thing to do is to represent your voters. Thanks. Oh, okay. Thank you for that. So I just find it a little bit ironic that the Democrats lost 2024 for the exact reason that the Republicans are going to lose 2028. And we know it here early 2026, but nothing's being done to fix it because the people that are driving the Republican Party off a cliff are all Democrats. They're Israeli first Democrats. So why would they care if the Republican Party gets destroyed? They're getting what they want. How Trump's revenge tour against Republicans could cost the party in November. This is from Reuters. Trump purges dissenters, risking alienation of moderates and independents. Trump's actions could limit Republican lawmakers' freedom to break ranks before the midterms. Cassidy's post-defeat vote shows risk that ousted Republicans will oppose Trump's priorities. 16 months into a second presidency, Donald Trump may be as unpopular as he's ever been among the American electorate, but his grip on his core base of MAGA voters remains unshaken. I think that's false, but okay. The power was on full display over the last 2 weeks as Trump ousted a string of fellow Republicans he considered apostates for not showing him enough personal fealty. The president's revenge tour continued on Tuesday when a handpicked loyalist defeated U.S. Representative Thomas Massie, a frequent critic, in a Kentucky nomination contest. But Trump's success in purging the party of dissenters could also hurt its chances of retaining control in Congress in November midterm elections, some Republican strategists said. Trump's actions appear to be aimed at mobilizing his most diehard supporters rather than reaching out to independent or moderate Republican voters who will likely play a determinative role in the highly competitive races. As Republican candidates in those contests may feel pressure to tether themselves even more closely to Trump to avoid becoming the latest targets of his ire, even though it may cost them voters outside the Make America Great Again base. Anytime the party in power, the midterm elections face headwinds, the president should be looking to grow his coalition, said Jeff Grappone, a former advisor to several Republican senators. With the Iran war driving energy costs higher, Trump's approval rating was at 35, and in a Reuters poll that closed on Monday, reflecting growing concern about inflation and the cost of living. Yeah, but Trump responded to that by saying he doesn't care. We got a response from Trump about the inflation and the economic woes. It's that he literally doesn't ever think about it and doesn't care and thinks it's peanuts and says it's worth it and to shut up. So, you know, if you're concerned about the economy, just know Donald Trump does not care. Even a little bit. He's not even pretending to. But it's not just American, you know, the Republican Party that is suffering because of Donald Trump's endless subservient suicidal retardation in the name of Israel. Inside the unraveling of U.S. diplomacy under Trump, Donald Trump's threats, personal envoys, and hollowed out U.S. embassies are reshaping Washington's presence in the world. Allies from Europe to Asia are rewriting the rules of engagement, ignoring the president's rhetoric and forging new diplomatic channels to manage a U.S. foreign policy driven increasingly by personalities, not institutions. And of course, you know, it doesn't even really get into the real fact of the matter, which is that, you know, we keep killing people we're supposed to be negotiating with. And, you know, just abusing our allies endlessly for no particular reason other than Israel demands it. The Trump administration rejects the notion of a breakdown, saying the changes have strengthened U.S. diplomacy and streamlined decision making. The president has the right to determine who represents the American people and interest around the world, said Tommy Pigott, a State Department spokesman. The account of America's diplomatic upheaval is based on interviews with more than 50 senior diplomats, White House officials, and recently retired ambassadors, as well as dozens of foreign officials, diplomats, and lawmakers across Europe and Asia. As America's career diplomats are fired or sidelined, its allies are changing how they deal with Washington. Rather than rely on embassies or formal channels, foreign governments say they're rewiring their diplomacy around a small circle of people with direct access to the president, leaving many dependent on back channels to manage a superpower whose signals have grown erratic. So, yes, in other words, They got to go to Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff if they want to get anything done. Can't go through the normal channels because Trump apparently completely ignores them, just like he does with our intelligence service, in favor of whoever his Israeli first diplomats are. And this is very troubling because Russia, at least, seems motivated and incentivized to sort of overcome this diplomatic confusion, to cut through the diplomatic static noise and send a very clear message, because the Trump administration seems like complete petulant babies is actually the reality. The fact is that, like, nothing gets done. No agreement can be made. You know, it really is Trump's personality that's been, you know, ceded to everybody, where it's just like, yeah, they can lie with impunity. They can say one thing and then do another. And that's just smart, you know, smart business. That's deal making, you know, just like the great deal he made in China to bring in 500,000 Chinese students in exchange for forcing China to sell TikTok to Israel, you know, deal making. So 500,000 American kids will have their spots at universities taken by our greatest geopolitical rival. And then I'm sure many of them will get jobs here in America that would have gone to American students. So sure, they're disadvantaging directly at least 500,000 graduates every single year. But in exchange, Israel gets to censor our social media. So deal making, you know, like Trump does, the deals he makes. So apparently he's accruing this all to himself. And in order to cut through the fog, Russia is holding gigantic nuclear drills. Drills are intended to send a signal, says Russia, as they hold massive nuclear drills on land, sea, and air alongside Belarus. Russian President Vladimir Putin discussed the maneuvers in a video call with his Belarusian counterpart Lukashenko. Quote, the use of nuclear weapons is an extreme exceptional measure for ensuring the national security of our state. Lukashenko earlier inspected Russian short-range nuclear-capable Iskander ballistic missiles at a military unit involved in the drills and declared, I dreamed about this machine a long time ago. The three-day drills that began on Tuesday come amid a surge in Ukrainian drone strikes, including on Moscow suburbs, that killed three people and damaged several buildings. So Ukraine is refusing to go quietly, refusing to allow the war to end, and Russia is now holding giant military drills with nuclear weapons, going, we're sending you a signal, America. Are you getting it? Do you understand yet? We will use nuclear weapons. Don't mess with us.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all of you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the t-shirts that are limited edition there. A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern, updated World War II trench knife with the blacked out, murdered out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, five different limited edition laser engraved designs. They're all about to sell out, only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the Shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com, because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it. And you can cancel anytime. There's no commitment, just in your profile. You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel anytime. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.